Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Hour number three, Wednesday edition. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. You are listening to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have had, I think it's fair to say, a pretty loaded show so far. If you're just joining us, first hour of the program, lots of discussion about the Confederacy at the gates of the Capitol, at least according to the historical analogy that Joe Biden tried to deploy as it pertains to voting rights. We have talked about Cuba in the second hour, top of the second hour. Governor of Texas Greg Abbott joined us, and as we finished out the second hour there, we were talking about the situation in Cuba. And to me, Buck, what I keep coming back to, and people who listen to this show are going to hear it happen over and over again because I think it's so significant, is the power of big tech and the inconsistency with which they apply that power. And the banning of Donald Trump by all of the big tech companies simultaneously in collusion represents, to me, one of the biggest threats to the First Amendment that has existed in my life, if not the biggest. And when I see a situation like Cuba going on, where there are massive protests from Cuban nationals all over that island nation, and the government, led by the president of Cuba, is threatening, arresting, beating protesters, and Twitter is allowing that man to continue to put out all of his propaganda on behalf of the communist government that he leads, how is it possible that Miguel Diaz-Canel Bermudez, who, for those of you who don't know, is right now the communist leader of Cuba, how is it allowed for him to constantly be putting out propaganda and yet Twitter does nothing to him? Meanwhile, the democratically elected president of the United States is not allowed to be on the platform. And it's not just Cuba, by the way. Iran certainly has had the supreme leader, the Ayatollah, is allowed to tweet out inflammatory comments about Jewish people. Nothing happens to him. Terrorists are allowed to be active on Twitter. Don't get banned. I mean, this to me goes at the heart of the essence of the lies that big tech has told us.
You can be Hamas and keep your social media rights as far as Silicon Valley is concerned. But if you're a Republican who opposes transgender athletes competing against women, we got to shut you down. If you, this is real, if you dead name, meaning you use a transgender individual's previous gender name, right? So it would be, Bradley Manning, who then transitioned into Chelsea Manning. That's considered, you cannot say the name.
It's unacceptable. Even if you're referring,
so these are the kind of things on social media for everybody out there that can get you banned. But Clay, I think there's also a fundamental philosophical difference that this exposes in the way generally Democrats and Republicans think about these things. You and I have the belief that we are Americans and that external enemies to this country are actually something that we unify against, right? I stand with you and with everyone listening and with Democrats, if they're willing, against the Ayatollah, against the Iranian regime, against North Korea, against external enemies to freedom, decency, democracy, you name it. Democrats, the Democrat left, to be sure, not all Democrats, to be fair, but Democrats overwhelmingly take an opinion that the greatest enemies that they have are actually internal, which is what we're hearing from Joe Biden. Yes. When you're talking about insurrection and the Confederacy and January 6th and conflating these things and Jim Crow and saying January 6th was as bad as 9/11, what they're actually telling all of us is that the primary threat that Democrats see is internal, and they are not willing to view external threats as cause for unification of the American people. In fact, they're willing to look at external threats and say, this is an opportunity for us to leverage against the people in our own country, politically or otherwise. That's what they're actually showing us. Because otherwise, how do you explain why Republicans get shut down on social media for talking about elections, But true blood-soaked dictators around the world, I mean, they get to keep their Twitter accounts and their blue checks.
No, yes, yes, yes on so much of that. And by the way, it's not only internal, the focus of the internal enemies. It's a particular subset, which is the white supremacist, which is Biden wants to talk about big lies. A massively huge lie is that the biggest threat to America is white supremacy. Can anyone even name a prominent white supremacist leader? Can anyone even name a active political ideology of white supremacy that is expanding in this country right now in terms of major political support? It doesn't exist. It is a boogeyman that Democrats use to try to terrify their identity politics-led coalition into supporting them.
Think about it in the way that it actually is obvious to Americans every single day of their lives. As you've pointed out, being called a racist in general is one of the worst things that can be said about you in America today, but especially for liberals. I mean, the hint that somebody could ever think they're a racist is the worst thing. They'd rather be a traitor than a racist, right? There are words that they would, that don't scare them as much as being a racist. They claim simultaneously that there is a white supremacist plot to undo our democracy and the insurrection is going to come at any moment. Meanwhile, in every company in America that has any, you know, value and any sales, any growth, in every company in America, in every government institution, if you were actually a white supremacist in any way, you would be fired, you would be ostracized, your life would be ruined. So somehow, this is something that will destroy your life instantaneously if it were actually true of an individual, and yet they're telling us that this is widespread, it's everywhere, and it's all over the place. This is a massive cognitive dissonance that the left enforces upon all the rest of us, too. It makes no sense. It can't be both these things at the same time, that America is soaked in white supremacy. Meanwhile, actual white supremacy would destroy your life instantaneously in American society anywhere.
The Jussie Smollett's of the world wouldn't need to exist if white supremacy were so all-encompassing, because you wouldn't have to manufacture all this racism. Look at all the fake racism that is trumped up on a day-to-day basis in order to fill that Democratic narrative. Now, let me be clear. There are racist people. And Buck, I've made this argument for a long time, and I'm going to keep making it on this show, too. The way we define racism in this country has to change, because we define racism exclusively, by and large, in large-scale discussion as white against black, right? Almost exclusively. There are white racists. There are black racists. There are Hispanic racists. There are Asian racists. And every single person out there listening to us right now knows that that is true, that no individual ethnic group has ownership of racism in America, or certainly in the world in the 21st century. Why do we insist on defining racism as if it is perpetually 1964 in America? This country is far more complicated in terms of its overall political makeup and racial makeup in 2021 than it was in 1964, when, but I agree, it was mostly white and black.
What you're talking about is an intentional program of indoctrination and political mobilization by the left. In fact, what you're saying is a workable and consistent definition of racism as applied to all different people, effectively choosing to make any distinction about a person based upon the superficial characteristic of skin color is immoral and wrong, right? That is a clear and workable definition of racism. The left, and I know this, I do a weekly show where I get to speak to a leftist on a podcast. The left firmly believes, and they will assert this if you push them on this, that there is no such thing, for example, as racism against white people. And in fact, racism, and this is all at the heart of intersectionality, racism among non-white groups is an outgrowth of white against black and brown racism throughout our history and throughout our structures. So they've actually created a construct where racism is effectively a pyramid. And at the very top of it, There is white racism, and everything flows from that. There is no other independent. It doesn't matter that racism exists in the Indian subcontinent or in Japan or in any number of places all over the world. In the American context, a leftist authoritarian will tell you the only racism is white supremacy, and all other racial discord comes from that original sin. And I know, Clay, I know my head's exploding too, but this is actually
that's
the teaching.
Yeah, no, you're correct. I mean, that is the argument. And when you are attacking from within, what you are missing is that moral legitimacy. And that's when I see the Cuban protesters walking with the American flag, or when I see the Hong Kong protesters before they lost their democracy protesting with the American flag. The external world sees us for what we are. The internal politics of this nation, when you try and tear down the legitimacy of the United States as a force for good, you take away our ability to be a force for good. It's one thing if an external country is trying to do that, which certainly China and Russia and among others are trying to do. But it's another thing entirely when the United States, if it is going to be destroyed, and I think you probably agree with me on this, Buck, it's not going to be destroyed by an external factor. It's going to be destroyed by ourselves internally, destroying what we have built, which is the greatest nation that's ever existed in the history of the
and
world.
And that's been the plan of communists for about the last 100 years, just to be clear, to subvert us from within. And another thing that's not taught, not only do we not have kids learning about the history of authoritarianism in the 20th century and the hundreds of millions, if not billions of lives ruined, enslaved and destroyed from it, they don't learn the history of communist subversion within the United States, the American Communist Party, the ties to labor unions, the Democrat Party. They don't teach this stuff. But Clay, that's something we'll do here. We'll bring that history to life for everybody. And we'll also bring some calls to life here on the show, because I know a lot of folks have been very patient with us. We want to bring them in. 800-282-2882. We're talking Cuba. We're talking insurrection madness from the Democrats. And we're also going to get into Fauci wanting to mask up your three-year-old, maybe double mask. But there's a sacred obligation that we all have to never forget. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation helps us keep that commitment. This year, Tunnel to Towers is honoring Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children and catastrophically injured veterans and first responders with 200 mortgage-free homes. Chairman and CEO Frank Siller is paying tribute to the fallen by walking from the Pentagon to Shanksville and on to Ground Zero, more than 500 miles through six states in 42 days, the month of August through 9/11, and Towers of Light will shine at the Pentagon and Shanksville in memorials in remembrance.
And the names of those we lost to 9/11 related illness will be read aloud at a ceremony on September 12th. And on Veterans Day, the names of those we lost in the war on terror, they'll also be said out loud. So how can you make a difference, and how can you do good and help America to never forget? Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number two, T.org.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. Just want to bring your attention some breaking news here. Former President Donald Trump just put out, and this is at BuckSexton.com. My team put this up. The news coming out of Georgia is beyond incredible. The hand recount in Fulton County was a total fraud. They stuffed the ballot box and got caught. We will lose our country if this is allowed to stand. So Trump is going deep into the Georgia ballot box situation here with this statement. Like I said, the full statement's up at BuckSexton.com. Trump denounces election results in Fulton County, Georgia. And Clay, I'm gonna look into this, because I've got friends who are involved in trying to figure out what happened there. So we'll have to do some due diligence on this one and see just exactly what the president is referring to. But he has put out an official statement on this one. Sebasco in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Welcome to Clay and Buck Show.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm from Cuba. I came here in 1962. I had a business in Cuba, a restaurant, and a farm, a couple thousand acres, all right? They took everything before Castro. I mean, when Castro took over, I didn't have anything, really. I was very disgusted. They put me in jail and everything. So my life was terrible in Cuba. They used to go after me all the time. And I don't know, you know, what's going to happen in this country. I don't like the way it's going. I know this country opened the door for me. I thank this country very, very much. However, you know, I don't know where I'm going to go if they come over here. You know?
Sebastian, what do you think we should do? What should America do now with what's going on in Cuba?
All right. Very good. Okay. Good point. Now, we went to Iraq, okay? We got rid of the president. We got rid of the dictator there, okay? Now, we went to Granada when Reagan was the president, and he intervened in Granada, and what happened there? No more communists over there, okay? Now, they could do the same thing with Cuba, you know? That's the my point. And let me tell you something. The Cuban people love you very much. They listen to you over there in Miami. I know that because I was talking to somebody. And they have your radio over there.
We love the Cuban people.
We love the Cuban people, too. Thank you for the call. Here's the thing. Obviously, I'm more aggressive than you are in terms of what the United States should be. Both of us should be doing with Cuba. Both of us far more aggressive than what Joe Biden will do. I do wonder on some level, the biggest geopolitical flashpoint that exists anywhere in the world right now in terms of potentially creating a massive war, I think you would agree with me, Buck, is Taiwan, right? The place that I'm most concerned about. I know you could say North Korea could fire
in India and Pakistan come to mind, too, but I hear what you're saying.
But my concern, if I had to point to one area, is that because of what China did in Hong Kong, they are preparing in some way, I believe, to take over Taiwan and argue that Taiwan is their rightful land and that the democracy and freedom that exists there should be under the auspices of China. If we do something in Cuba aggressive, I wonder how many people who are analyzing this situation are saying the response from China, if we do something with Cuba, would be we're going to do to Taiwan the same thing you would do to Cuba.
Now, I think there's also in the background of all this, the feeling, and we're going to continue to be talking about this in the weeks ahead, that after 20 years in Afghanistan, there's a sense of what the heck did we really do? And Afghanistan's falling apart.
We failed.
It's falling apart.
Vietnam.
The Taliban's going to be in control of that country relatively soon, in my opinion. I'm not the only one that feels that way, who follows the issue closely and knows what it's like in that country. So the public appetite in America right now we're talking about this like at the far end of action in Cuba, because there's a lot of things the Biden administration could do that are short of blowing stuff up and telling our guys to go in there and start shooting guns.
Right.
They could get, I mean, look, there are ways they could get arms to Cuban opposition forces. They could just say, you guys do the fighting. We'll give you the tools. There's a lot of stuff that could be going on here. But we all know this Biden administration, Clay, their heart is not in it.
That's right.
Everything flows from that. Their heart is not in overturning this dictatorship. We'll come back into this, though, in a moment, and also talk to you about Fauci want to mask up 3-year-olds, of course, because he's a little lab coat tyrant. If we've learned anything since 2020, it's that there's nothing quite as important for all of us as a powerful immune system. Over 20 years ago, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood, the original superfood. I met Dr. Black years ago, and I started taking Texas Superfood, and it's incredible. 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes to help your body build its immune defense. You know, your grandmother told you to eat your fruits and veggies? Well, this is kind of how you do it, but in capsule form. If you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and vegetables every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to texassuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. A new podcast hosted by yours truly, James Golden, or as many of you know me, Bo Snerdly. Come with me behind the scenes for an exciting and intimate look at the man who changed America as we know it. Coming Wednesday, May 12th to iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Presented by MyPillow and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. We are rolling through there. Speaking of podcasts, go subscribe to our own. You'll not only get that fantastic podcast you just heard advertised, but you'll get our show, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. You can search us out on iTunes. You can go give us 5 stars. We have got a lot of people who want to weigh in here on many of the topics we've been discussing throughout the show. We've only taken a couple of calls. Let's go ahead and take more of these guys here in a moment. But first, you're going to hear from Rush Limbaugh talking about Cuba.
These people, meaning the Democrats, their refusal to accept the results of 2016, they still haven't, folks. They are still out pushing the idea that Trump stole that election with the Russians. They are still pushing it. They have done more to tarnish the reputation, the image, the sanctity of the American electoral system than any saboteur could. The Democrat Party has done more to ruin the perceived honesty and integrity of our electoral process than anything Vladimir Putin could. And it's a shame because there is no way, and I want you to listen to me here, there is no way to rig a presidential election the way they are claiming Trump did. Now, you would need a really close election where the Democrats could say we need an additional 50,000 votes in Cook County, or we need an additional 80,000 in West Virginia. And you delay closing in those places and you manufacture the votes. You mentioned Al Franken finding votes in the trunk of a car 2 weeks later. You can do that, but you need the election to be over. You need it to be over, and you need to know how many votes you need and where. And then you need to be able to offer a good excuse why the votes haven't been counted yet. But to go in and rig the election before Election Day to make sure that no matter what happens, your guy's going to win, it's not possible, folks. It simply isn't possible. And no less than Barack Hussein Obama has made this point. And yet the Democrat Party has done everything it can to make people in this country believe that's exactly what happened, that the Russians wanted Trump, and so they made it happen, and that Trump knew about it and helped them and worked with them.
Clearly talking about election integrity there and belief in the fairness of our elections, Clay. And I know we were talking Cuba, but we transitioned there into Rush talking about that. I just look, the essential point, and it's one you make, it's one I make, it's one everyone needs to keep in mind, is that Democrats are the experts in undermining elections that don't go the way they want them to and have been for a very long time. So there is some irony here in the our sacred elections for our democracy stuff from Biden and all the rest.
4 years of questioning Trump's win illegitimately, spending hundreds of millions of dollars on investigations to try to prove that it was illegitimate. And this last 6 months is the Civil War, according to Joe Biden, the most significant threat to our democracy since the Civil War. A lot of people want to weigh in. We said we want to get to some of our callers. We appreciate all you guys who have been hanging out. Let me go first to Rich in Tennessee, who's got a funny idea associated with Cuba.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. You know, a lot of times things can be boiled down real simply, and that was part of the art of Rush, is you just heard it there. I mean, he can boil things down. I mean, right now it's simply a case of liberty and freedom versus tyranny and insanity. And when I say insanity, I mean that. I mean, we have criminals in office right now that I see as sociopaths, and they get there because there's no consequences. This Cuba thing is really highlighted the freedoms and what a lot of us conservatives feel. It's really lit a fire in us to see this happening. And I think maybe one thing that we could do simply would be to exchange with Cuba our communists for their people that want freedom. It's awful funny that Mayorkas will leave the southern border open, but he'll call these poor people that are willing to risk their life in a rowboat coming 90 miles across as illegal immigrants, and they won't accept them. So that's all I really had to say. I appreciate your show, and keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks, Rich. We appreciate it. You know, Clay, that's still the part of this that it's so obvious that Democrats' positions when it comes to immigration are rooted in a combination. First and foremost, it's power politics, what benefits the Democrat Party, and then also the virtue signaling of coastal elites who want cheap labor in this country to exploit and also want to feel good about themselves while they live in high-walled enclaves with private security and feel like they are insulated from the decision-making that they impose upon all the rest of us. That's what really motivates their immigration feelings, as we see from the difference in Cubans and Central Americans right now.
No, it's well said. The hypocrisy is staggering. I would say this from Rich's perspective. A big part of me wishes that there was a program. I know we have the Peace Corps where people can volunteer, but I think almost every American critic, if they had to live for a year in a non-major country, right? Like non-first world country.
So yeah, third said, world country. Let's just say it. A third world country.
Yeah. Third world country for a year to do whatever you want to do there. Try to advance democracy, try to build wells, try to help educate uneducated children, provide health care, whatever it is. I think to a man and woman, when every single one of them came back, they would kiss the ground when they actually arrived in America. So many people in this country, Buck, have no clue how good we have it. And when that's why it disgusts me to such an extent when I see people tearing down the moral authority of this country. It's so uneducated and so unaware of what the rest of the world is like. America is imperfect, like everything that's ever been created by man is imperfect because we are all imperfect. But it's the greatest creation of government in the history of the world. And many people inside of this country are trying to destroy it. It blows my mind.
I agree. Which one do you want next? Because we've got a bunch of calls here we could get to.
I'll defer to you.
Oh, okay. I'll go. We'll go with Chuck in Hoboken, New Jersey. A liberal calling in. Uh oh, batting down the hatches. Just kidding, Chuck. We appreciate it. What's up?
No. Yeah, I love you guys. I listen all the time. I was a big Rush listener. Buck, I listened to your show at night, frustrated, like throwing pillows against the wall or whatever you would say. But I think you guys have good points, although I disagree.
Well, right. We appreciate your open-mindedness. At least you know smart, yeah. Even if you don't agree with it.
Well, I am. Let me just tell your listeners, I am the liberal. Buck, I know you, your lady friend, NYU Stern. I have my MBA from NYU Stern. I have my law degree from Cornell. Like, I'm a pretty educated guy. Here's my disagreement.
Okay.
So first of all, with Cuba, I've been on the line for a while. With Cuba, I mean, who's going, man? Like, I'm cool with it. Let's support them. Who's going next? What kid is going next? I'm 48. I got a broken neck. Who's going next? Who are we sending over there to help them? Like, they need help. I get it. We can give them dollars. We can do what Reagan did, who I voted for. Well, who I voted for once. And we can give them money. We can support them. We can drop jeans, right? That was the whole thing with Reagan. We can do jeans.
What year did you vote for Reagan, 80 or 84?
84, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, all right. And look, I mean, who's going there? I don't think anybody right now has advocated ground troops, right? So at least not that I've heard. Maybe the Miami mayor has stepped it up and tried to one-up me in terms of what he wants to do and moved on from airstrikes. So I think that's a valid question, and I don't think that's necessarily a political-based decision, right? I think there's a lot of apprehension about American involvement in external country affairs right now, given what I think many people of all political persuasions would believe is a lot of wasted money in Afghanistan, potentially up to $1 trillion. As you said, Buck, we talked about this on the day we pulled out and began to pull out. Basically no difference at all. The Taliban may be the exact same position they were in before we went in 20 years ago.
And Chuck, I just to your point, man, I think I see what you're saying, which is, you know, it's one thing to talk about intervention in a situation like this. Cuba's a country of about 11 million people. There's a pretty large security apparatus, a lot of military folks, a lot of Communist Party officials.
Pretty well supported by Russia, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and still get support from Russia, still get support from Iran. And if, you know, intervention at some level is going to mean we're going to have to kill people. That's what you always got to remember, that we're actually sending it, and we may lose our people too.
We're going to lose people.
So we're going to tell.
I'm a 2-time Ironman. I can swim 5 miles in the water right now. I almost qualified for the SEALs. I tagged out.
Well,
we're going to lose SEALs.
Well, that's the point. I mean, so this is where we have to start to think, is this something that we really want to engage in? And I mean, I say no. Clay's more open to it. But our liberal caller from New Jersey, very reasonable liberal from New Jersey.
Chuck. I mean, look, I think we would speak for this too. We want as many people as possible listening.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think Chuck, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. And please keep listening. I think every Democrats are listening to the show. At least they're getting a smart version of what conservatives think. At least they're getting the real deal. They're not getting some talking points handed to some stooge that nobody cares what they say. So, you know, that's because, you know, that's out there. There's like a million podcasts out there. There's a lot of people that are, I'm a conservative. There are whole organizations now where that they're fake conservatives trying to tell people what the right thinks for the amusement of Democrats. You know, like all the right wingers who go on CNN. None of them are actually right wing. All right. Relief Factor, folks, is a game changer. It's incredible. Robert in California says he didn't think Relief Factor was working until he ran out about mid-month. And after 3 days, the pain was back to where it started. He realized how much Relief Factor helps him. It was a great test for him to see how Relief Factor really works. And I know that it works because my mom's taking it. My dad's taking it. My dad's an avid golfer. He's had some knee pain. My mom's got a little bit of back pain from being in the gym. And Clay, I know Mrs. Travis, big believer.
Yes, she does, Buck. And look, she is an incredible athlete. She does Peloton. She does spin, Pilates, like all these different things. And so sometimes her body gets tired out and she makes the smart decisions for her, which is also a smart decision that a lot of other people are following. It's a 100% drug-free product. It addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. And it is fantastic. It's why hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. You can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. $19.95, 3-week quick start developed for you. Relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
The children who are not able to get vaccinated because of their age should follow, their parents should follow with them, the guidelines of the CDC, that unvaccinated children of a certain age, greater than 2 years old, should be wearing masks. No doubt about that. That's the way to protect them from getting infected, because if they do, they can then spread the infection to someone else.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Dr. Fauci telling you that if your 2-year-old has not yet gotten the shot, which of course is reckless because everyone, every man, woman, and child, every living creature, dogs, cats, hamsters, should all get the shot. We need the shot, Clay. And your kid, sure, they're not eligible for a vaccination, but your kid should probably get it anyway, because otherwise the droplets will aerosolize. And there you have it, man.
Your Fauci impersonation is really good. Here's a question as I hear Fauci continue to spout nonsense. And by the way, the really unfortunate thing here is there are a lot of people out there who are going to feel wildly pressured to get their kids vaccinated for a virus that they have truly a 0% chance of any significant impact from. I would encourage you, by the way, one good thing about the podcast, we had Alex Berenson on for much of the second hour of the show yesterday. Great feedback for that interview. I'd encourage you to go listen to that, because one of the few places you can actually get real honest discussion. Buck, how many hours do you think Dr. Fauci has spent in the media in the last 18 months? Is anybody else even close to the amount of interviews?
More than me, and I've done up to 6 hours of live performance a day for months at a time, Clay. So I think Fauci spends more time spouting off than I have or you have, and we do this for a living.
And that might have made sense back in March when people were still getting used to the idea of COVID. The idea that he's still doing interviews on COVID, on MSNBC and CNN on a regular basis, as if there's new information out there, it's mind-blowingly insane. And by the way, speaking of mind-blowingly insane, our liberal friend who called in is getting blown up by a lot of listeners, because I didn't catch his age, but he said he was 48 and then also claimed to have voted for Reagan in 1984. So that would be a mathematical impossibility.
But, you know, Clay, Liberals buy pillows too. You know what I mean?
I agree with what we were just saying earlier. I want everyone to listen to this show, right? Because I think that if left of center people, if even some left wingers listen, a lot of the arguments that we make on this show are hard to refute with facts. You can refute them with emotion. That's not logical. But I like to think that we can have an impact in terms of having a more educated populace, which I think works in the favor of logic and intellect and facts over feelings.
I've hosted shows before, co-hosted shows, Clay, with leftists. I mean, true Marxist, far-left Democrats. And I always found that I want to get the argument at the highest level. So yes. I've done this with people that are very smart Democrats. I think they're wrong on everything, but I agree with you. I want people to come in and feel like they're getting the highest level version of our side's argument every day, because that's what, you know, I mean, it's not just Democrats, you know, from Media Matters who should be listening to us in case we slip up and I misgender somebody or something,
yes.
Right? Like we want actual Democrats to feel comfortable listening, so at least they'll know what the best version of the argument it is. But that's also a great way to get us to the conversation about the podcast, which for anything that anyone's missed here, they can listen to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast. We're still in the top 10 on news. Want to keep it even higher than that, folks. So please do subscribe to it, and that's the way to go. That's the way to make it happen. And Clay, we've already got some great plans in mind for tomorrow. What do you think we're going to be getting into?
I think we're going to be getting into probably the Civil War, the Confederacy storming the Capitol. More insanity there. The budget's moving through, and COVID madness, all that. Go give us 5 stars. We're going to read some of your reviews as well.
Thanks, everybody, for being with us. We'll get into more calls tomorrow. Go to BuckSexton.com if you want to see that statement from President Trump where he says the Georgia election, big problems there. So do talk to us more about that or check that out. We'll talk about it tomorrow. And make sure you follow Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. He's Clay, I'm Buck. But, you know, follow us both on Facebook, on Twitter.
I still can't believe we wore the exact same outfit on TV. I can't believe we did it, Buck.
The same outfit? Oh, we got to do it every time now. We got to do it every time, man. The uniform. Talk to y'all tomorrow.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.